This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. It's the most wonderful time of the year, policy-setting time. State Farm Bureaus have sent their proposed national policies to the American Farm Bureau Federation. Grassroots Farm Bureau members all over the country have surfaced policies to strengthen an environment in which farmers and ranchers can produce and succeed. In just a few weeks, farmer and rancher delegates will gather at the AFBF annual meeting to vote on the policies that will guide AFBF's advocacy work over the next year. In addition, the AFBF is hosting the annual Taste of the State's Holiday Gathering in Washington, D.C. for members of Congress, administration officials, representatives of agricultural associations around town, and other partners. What makes this event special is state farm bureaus contribute foods representing agriculture in their states, creating something of an agricultural and culinary tour of America. It is always a privilege for AFBF and the state farm bureaus to host this event highlighting America's agricultural bounty and diversity. There will be a similar Taste of America event on January 11th at the AFBF Annual Convention in Orlando, Florida. These two happenings are quite different. One is strictly business, while the other gives a welcome opportunity for fellowship with colleagues and friends. However, they both highlight reasons for being Farm Bureau proud. Each season offers up reminders of what's important. For Farm Bureau leaders, this time of year reminds us of why Farm Bureau is so important to the future of agriculture. No other organization has the grassroots reach that we have. And as the unified national voice of agriculture, Farm Bureau has the influence to implement the policy wishes of the grassroots so that our nation's farmers and ranchers can continue to produce the bounty we celebrate at our Taste of the States event. According to a legal opinion issued Monday by the U.S. Government Accountability Office, the Environmental Protection Agency broke the law with its social media and grassroots lobbying campaign advocating for its own Waters of the U.S. rule. AFBF President Bob Stoltman says it's clear from this report that EPA orchestrated this matter in a biased fashion. Now it's up to Congress to clean up this mess by including a corrective measure in the omnibus bill now taking shape on Capitol Hill. Courts have already declared serious doubts about the legal authority for the rule. Now that has become clear that the agency used illegal tactics to manufacture ill-informed support for the rule, Congress should act immediately to prohibit implementation of this rule, which is the product of an unlawful and misguided process. Stallman added that we applaud U.S. Senate Environment and Public Works Chairman Jim Inhofe for asking GAO to conduct this investigation. The GAO findings vindicate those, like the American Farm Bureau Federation, who have claimed all along that EPA's tactics advocating for this rule step past the bounds of proper agency rulemaking. EPA was focused only on promoting the rule rather than hearing good faith concerns from a wide cross-section of Americans. The public deserves better when important matters of public policy are at stake. The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration has amended Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations to establish minimum performance and design standards for hours of service electronic logging devices, along with requirements for the mandatory use of these devices by drivers currently required to prepare HOS records of duty status. While the rule does not explicitly exempt agriculture, most farmers and ranchers should be exempt from the ELD requirement due to existing HOS exemptions for covered farm vehicle drivers. ELDs automatically record driving time, monitoring engine hours, vehicle movement, miles driven, and location information. The ELD final rule permits the use of smartphones and other wireless devices as ELDs so long as they satisfy technical specifications, are certified, and are listed on the FMCSA website. And in this holiday season, we take pleasure in answering thus prominently the communication below, expressing at the same time our great gratification that its faithful author is numbered among the friends of the sun. Dear Editor, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, it's so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Signed, Virginia O'Hanlon. Dear Virginia, your little friends are wrong. They have been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant, in his intellect as compared with the boundless world about him, as measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist, and you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. The internal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus? You might as well not believe in fairies. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus, but even if you did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not, but that's no proof that they are not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are unseen and unseeable in the world. You tear apart the baby's rattle and see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived could tear apart. Only faith, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernal beauty and glory beyond. Is it all real? Ah, Virginia, in this world there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives and lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, say nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. Francis P. Church's editorial, Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus, was an immediate sensation and went on to become one of the most famous editorials ever written. It first appeared in the New York Sun in 1897, over 100 years ago, and was reprinted annually until 1949 when the paper went out of business. 36 years after her letter was printed, Virginia O'Hanlon recalled the events that prompted her letter. She says, quite naturally, I believed in Santa Claus, for he had never disappointed me. But when less fortunate little boys and girls said there wasn't any Santa Claus, I was filled with doubts. I asked my father, and he was a little evasive on the subject. It was a habit in our family that whenever any doubts came up as to how to pronounce a word or some question of historical fact as was in doubt, we wrote to the question and answer column in the Sun. Father would always say, if you see it in the sun, it's so, and that settled the matter. She said that she was just going to write the Sun and find out the real truth. Her father said, go ahead, Virginia. I'm sure the Sun will give you the right answer, as it always does. And so Virginia sat down and wrote her parents' favorite newspaper. Her letter found its way into the hands of a veteran editor, Francis P. Church, son of a Baptist minister. Church had covered the Civil War for the New York Times and had worked on the New York Sun for 20 years, more recently as an anonymous editorial writer. Church, a sardonic man, had for his personal motto, endeavor to clear your mind of cant. When controversial subjects had to be tackled on the editorial page, especially those dealing with theology, the assignments were usually given to Church. Now he had in his hands a little girl's letter on a most controversial matter, and he was burdened with the responsibility of answering it. Is there a Santa Claus? The child to scrawl in the letter asked. At once, Church knew that there was no avoiding the question. He must answer, and he must answer truthfully. And so he turned to his desk and began his reply, which has become one of the most memorable editorials in newspaper history. Church married shortly after the editorial appeared. He died in April 1906, leaving no children. Virginia O'Hanlon went on to graduate from Hunter College with a Bachelor of Arts degree at age 21. The following year, he received her master's from Columbia, and in 1912, she began teaching in the New York City school system, later becoming a principal. After 47 years, she retired as an educator. Throughout her life, she received a steady stream of mail about her Santa Claus letter, and to each reply, she attached an attractive printed copy of the church editorial. Virginia O'Hanlon Douglas died on May 13, 1971, at the age of 81, in a nursing home in Valatte, New York. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, God bless America, and have a very Merry Christmas.